One of the well-known anecdotes regarding Chaim Volozhin is his meeting with Napoleon. It's a very historical, very interesting episode. In the process of Napoleon's conquests in large parts of Russia, so he would occasionally take advice from various rabbonim about his chances of success in the battlefield. And it's mentioned about how he met Chaim Volozhin. The situation was where soldiers of the French army arrived in Volozhin and prepared to set up camp. This town happened to be an important location, but it was not fortified. It was very easy to conquer. Result, the majority of its inhabitants had run away because they feared the consequences of what might happen of the war. And the rest of the people, they locked themselves up in their houses. And when Napoleon's messengers and his people entered the town, they really couldn't find anybody to talk to because, again, either people had fled or they locked themselves in the houses and everything was very, very dark. The place was deserted. So the only light that one would be able to see would be the distance, which would be the yeshiva. Yeshiva Volozhin, Talmidim were learning. Nothing changed. And therefore they attracted and they approached over there. So an officer approaches and he opens the main door, the main entrance, and he comes in. And at the end of the Beis Medrash sits an old man in his 70s, and that was Reb Chaim sitting with a candle and he was learning. He was so absorbed that Bechlali didn't even notice that he was being approached by this officer. And when the officer opened his mouth, he was like startled to see who was standing there. And he tried to speak to him first in French, and Chaim says, I don't know any French. So he spoke in German. Chaim said, not an expert in German, but he spoke to him in German. And he asked him, listen, can you tell me, he asked Reb Chaim, he didn't know who he was. He says, can you tell me, he says, where your rabbi lives? You know, the one called Chaim. So he says to him, because we heard so much about him that he has the ability to make miracles and he's able to foresee and tell the future, so I'd like to meet him. Reb Chaim says to him, he says, Chaim, he says, who you're looking for happens to be here in the Beis Medrash. However, he's not a miracle man. He does not have any ability to make any miracles. The officer right away understood and he picked up that in fact that he was talking to the person that he was looking for. And he says to him, he says, listen, he says, Napoleon himself would like to meet you. So therefore, wait here, he says, and they'll come, Shluchim will come from him, and they're going to bring you to him. It didn't take very long, and a few soldiers arrive in a war carriage, and they bring Reb Chaim to this glorious tent of Napoleon, who is in the center of the camp. He was very happy to see and to meet Reb Chaim. You can imagine the face of Reb Chaim, whose face shone with Kedushas HaTorah, seeing this type of a person. And he begins to tell him about what he heard from other people in the country about that said that, Reb Chaim, that you have the ability to be able to tell the future, you can see the future, and therefore I would like to know, he says, tell me, he says, what advice can you give me in terms of the present war? As a matter of fact, he asked him even more than that. I want you to ask me, will I be victorious in battle? Or will the enemy, the Russian army, will they be victorious over me? Perhaps, he says, maybe a great tragedy, he says, is waiting for me. So reveal to me your thoughts. And Reb Chaim says to him, listen, he says, again, he says, I'm not able to tell the future, but I'll tell you a moshel. This is a very, very interesting moshel that Reb Chaim said, and he said as follows. And he said that it was a prince. So the prince, he said, that was traveling on the road, and this prince, you can imagine, the prince, he had four mighty horses. Four mighty horses, he says, of the finest stock. And as they travel, they arrive in the middle of a thick forest. One of the horses slips into dangerous quicksand and begins to sink. So far that this particular horse that was sinking pulled in and dragged in the other horses together with him, one after the other, until the wagon actually turned over. All the efforts that the prince tried and the officers was futile. He was not able to pull the wagon out, and everything there was stuck. Says Reb Chaim, what happened was that after a while, he says, interestingly enough, a few hours passed, and then along came a farmer. Farmer came along with the wagon, drawn by three, he says, weak and sickly horses. Sure enough, they also began to sink, he says, in the quicksand. But the farmer begins to whip his horses, so they all use their strength and were able to pull the wagon out of the quicksand. And the prince and the officer were amazed at the success. They couldn't understand. And the prince approached and says, listen, I want to ask you this question. I have four mighty horses of the best stock, he says. Powerful, strong, thoroughbred. You have three sickly horses, he says. And yet, he says, yours were able to get you out of the quicksand. Well, mine, he said, are still there. How do you explain it? And the farmer, this is where Reb Chaim is speaking and saying to Napoleon, he says to him the follows. He said, there's no special secret, says the farmer, he says, that helped me. Listen, he says, your horses, he says, they are pure thoroughbreds. You take the best that each country has to offer. So one horse comes from here, this country. The other horse comes from that country. You pick the best from each and every country. So therefore, when you whip them, he says, each one tries to go, he says, in a different direction. And they are not able to unite, he says, for the common good. He says, my horses, bony horses, are all for one family. You see these three horses? One is a mother and these are two children. They all work together, he says. It's not one pulling in that direction, and one is pulling in that direction. There's an Ahdus, he says. This is one family. Mother, he says, and two sons. And a Mele, he says, when I whip one of them, all the others is one to help that one. And so they were able to pull themselves out of the quicksand by working together. Rav Chaim said and explained to him like this. He says, in the matter that we're dealing with, he says, you are like the prince and the marshal, he says. You, Napoleon, he says, are like the prince. You have at your disposal, you have a gigantic, well-trained army, but they're not from the same blood. He says, the army is made up of troops from Austria, he says, from Prussia, he says, from Spain, he says, and from Italy. Every faction wants to claim victory, he says, to its own credit. Besides that, each battalion is happy when another is defeated to show that they're better than the others. He says, that's not the case, he says, regarding the Russian army that you're after, because although it's a poor army, but it's made up of one nation fighting to keep its land, everyone feels the common danger, and they're completely united for the common good. Therefore, he says, there's no doubt about the success of this battle. The victory will go to your enemy. And sure enough, as we know, he suffered a great loss at Moscow, and was finally defeated at a river crossing at Regina, and almost all of his soldiers were killed. And as Reb Chaim said, the predictions actually came true. Lamaisa, I believe Reb Chaim did have Ishtikl Ruch HaKodesh. But upon him, he explained it, Al Piseichel also, this it makes sense to him why and how he's able to predict exactly actually what's happened. So again, this is again shows again the godless, of course, of great Talmid HaChachamim, and all this, of course, Reb Chaim of Elohim. Well, we go to Rabbeisa here, we're starting here Perik Dalet, Shara Aleph Perik Dalet. And Reb Chaim continues on. Reb Chaim Nefesh HaChaim continues on again to depict and to describe godless Adam. When we say that man was created, B'Tzelem Elokim, Mebor HaYisoy, he was created B'Tzelem Elokim, and the word Elokim, again, let's remember, means Takuf Abal Yecholes Kulam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. And if man is created B'Tzelem Elokim, means he was given dominion. Man was given control over the heavenly worlds, the celestial worlds. That whatever man does down here determines the fate of so many, many worlds up there. So Reb Chaim goes on to say as follows. He says, V'zoyis toiras ha'odom. This is a lesson, he says, for every person called Ish Yisrael, for every Yid. Al yoymer b'liboy chas v'sholem. Reb Chaim, as you see, uses the lozen chas v'sholem. A man should not underestimate the consequences of his actions. He says, what a big deal, he says. Whom does it affect? I'm doing it for myself. Al yoyim b'libay chaz v'sholem kimo ani ma'koich elifol b'masai hashfolim shuminyim b'oilam. Man says, how can my insignificant actions make a difference in this world? So Reb Chaim, chaz v'sholem, man should never say that. Omnom yovin v'yeida v'yikva b'machshov esliboy. But rather he has to realize and he has to actually etch it in his mind. You have to etch it in your mind, he says, shekol protein masov. The dibur of all the details of his actions, all details of one's actions, and his dibur, his speech, machshavoiso, called eis verega. Again, as you see how he repeats it, this is called eis verega, which means every moment. Lo yisavidu chas v'sholem. They're never irrelevant. Whatever a man does at any given point in time, always carries significance. Never think that what you have done is irrelevant. Umorabu masov. How great and how much weight. On the contrary, he says all of your actions carry. Shekol achas, because he says every pu'ula, everything that you do, oile kifi shorosho, according to its shayrish, up to its root, lifoil pu'uloso begavhei maraymin, your actions have repercussions in the loftiest heights. Whatever you do has repercussions in the loftiest heights. Be'oilomois v'tzachtzochois ha'oiris v'yoinim. What you do affects the brilliance of the spiritual lights above. So if you think about the heavenly oiris, the tremendous spiritual light that's in Shemayim, every pu'ula that a person does will affect the tzachtzochois ha'oiris v'yoinim, will affect the brilliance of those spiritual lights. Your actions has the ability to darken and even to extinguish some of those lights. And by the way, you'll see this piece in the Haggadah, which you hear in the asterisk, just tickle this little piece. Most of them we don't do, but which is the direct shaykhis. And Reb Chaim says here a very beautiful pshat and something, a phrase that we are quite familiar with. And he brings here actually, it is Reb Itzel, the son of Reb Chaim, and he says, Haggadah, Bekorav Lishmoya, he says, it's very probable to hear Shegamzeh, that this idea, that this concept is also included Bechlal Kavanosom. We know the Mishnah says in other ways that a person has to be aware that whatever he does is being observed from above. The Lashon of the Mishnah in other ways, of course, is Da. A person, be aware. Da, be aware, Malamala Mimcho. Realize that what is above you, there's Ayin Raya, there's Oizen Shemah, there's an eye that sees, there's an ear that hears. Da, Malamala Mimcho. Says here, the Nefesh HaChaim, you know what the pshat dam alamala, now we see a tremendously new pshat. Dam alamala memchor etzeloimer. Im kein choroye benecho. Even though you are not capable, we are not capable of seeing the far-reaching effect of our actions. We are not capable of seeing it. Im kein choroye benecho. Even though you cannot see with your eyes, when yonim hanoroyim, the awesome consequences, hanasim memasecho, says the Mishnah, but I want you to know it's true. It does not depend whether you can see it or not. Irrelevant whether you see it or not. Be aware. The Mishnah says, "Avoltei de nemono," but you should know, "Kikoma shenasa lamalo." Whatever happens, "Boilem esol yoinim," "Gevaya gvayim," from the uppermost high, "Hakol mimchohu," "Al pi masecho," "Laonoitim," where your maisim to where they are leading, where they are leaning, "Al pi v'yetsu v'yavoyu." In other words, the pshat the Mishnah is, "Da malamala kama," "Da malamala." Whatever is in Shemayim up there, Mimcho, depends on you. Not like the simple pshat. Be aware that there is an observer, there's the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Da Malo Malo Mimcho, there's an eye, there's an ear above you. No, more than that. Da Malo Malo, whatever takes place in Shemayim, Mimcho, you have the hashpoah, you have the influence. It is your actions, it is your maisim, it is your dibur, it is your machshava. Da Malo Malo, so whatever takes place in Shemayim, you are determining that. This is Mimcho. This comes from you. So just a garbuche, just to mention, you know, one of these forum, of course, Rabbi Chaim Elojin is his sefer, Ruach Chaim, which is on Pirkei Ovis. This is Nefesh HaChaim. But there's a sefer called Ruach Chaim, which is on Pirkei Ovis. And there he says very beautifully, when we talk about a God-fearing person, we say he's a Yirish Shemayim. He's a Yirish Shemayim. He's fear of heaven. Yirish Shemayim. So Rabbi Chaim says another pshat. You know why we call Yirish Shemayim? It's a Yirish Hashem. Fear of Hashem, Yiras Alekim. Why Yiras Shemayim? Yiras Shemayim means to say is that you do the right thing because you fear Shemayim, you fear the destruction, the effects that you have in heaven. That's what Yiras Shemayim means. Yiras Shemayim, you know there's a Shemayim up there. And the status of that Shemayim is dependent on you. That's an awesome responsibility. That's what Yiras Shemayim means. Allowing a person to understand the far-reaching effect and the chashivas and the significance of his maisim. That if a person really takes it seriously and really allows this message to absorb, he will do the right thing. That's what it means, a Yiras Shemayim. A Yiras Shemayim is a person who has Yira of what happens in Shemayim, because it all takes place because of him and through him. So again, this is the hemshich of the message. And we go further. And Rav Chaim continues on and he says as follows. And Rav Chaim says, U'be'emes, truth be told, he says, Ki o'ish ha'chocham, a person who is wise, and you have to be wise to take this seriously. Not to think that this is something, this is just words, these are mesholim. Ke'oisha chokham, a person who is wise, the yovin azois lamitoi, a person who really understands and takes this truth to heart. Liboy Yochil Bekirboy Bechil Verodo. You'll realize with a trembling heart, if a person really takes this message to heart and really absorbs what's happening, if a person really would believe and understand and know what his actions really cost so far away, it would literally cause him to tremble. Besumoy Liboy. When he takes to heart, he says, Al Maisov Ashalitoivim Chazvisholim, to realize that Maisim, when he does the wrong thing, when he missteps and understands the devastation, Ad Heichon Heimo Magim Le Kalkel Ula Harois, look what he says, Bechet Kal Chazvisholim. Not easy to take what he's saying. He talks even the effects is of what we call a relatively Chet Kal, an easy, right? An easy misstep, a light transgression. Says Rav Chaim realized the tremendous kilkul, the tremendous kilkul of the destruction that is taking place and the devastation. You know how far it is? Look at the next few words. It's incredible words that he says. Harbi yoyser mimashe hichrev Nebuchadnezzar the Titus. In other words, even worse than Nebuchadnezzar and Titus that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We know that Nebuchadnezzar, he laid waste to the first Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash about 423 BCE. And then comes along Titus, and he lays waste, he destroys the second Beis HaMikdash in 69 CE. Worse than the holies that we have, Beis Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, the Churban, Nebuchadnezzar destroys, Titus destroys. Worse than they accomplished and achieved through destroying the Beis HaMikdash, the hate of the Yid causes much more devastation. And he explains. I'll tell you why. He says, you know why? Ka'aloi Nebuchadnezzar v'titus. Nebuchadnezzar v'titus don't have the power of the Jewish people. They don't have the power of Tzelem Elokim. I will explain that. We'll explain why not. Because after all, Tzelem Elokim bar Oysa means all of mankind was created Tzelem Elokim. Yet we're making a distinction between the power of a Yid, his Tzelem Elokim, and making a distinction from the power of Gentiles. Totally different. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus loy osu b'maseyem shum pigam v'kilkul klal amalo. They, Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, did not cause any damage in Shemayim, in heaven. Because the koyach of a goy or a Gentile, destruction is only here in the immediate, as far as his power, his physical powers can lead, can reach. Shemayim is way beyond his reach, beyond his grasp. Titus, Nebuchadnezzar, or any other Rosha that attempts to do destruction, kilkul devastation, they cannot reach, and they cannot cause devastation in Shemayim. So as great as Churban Beis HaMikdash was, the tragedy, by Srishan and by Sheni, but the kilkul devastations only remain on this world. They did not cause any pigam in Shemayim. They don't have that chelik, as he points out. Ki loy lohem, because they, people like Nebuchadnezzar, other nations of the world, other peoples of the world, ki loy lohem chelik v'shoyrish be'lomos al yoinim, because they are not rooted in the higher worlds. They are not rooted in the higher worlds. They have no shoyrish be'lomos al yoinim. She yu yecholim l'ngoy Hashem kol b'maseyim, that they should have the ability. Therefore, their actions bechlal do not affect those worlds at all. And by the way, this allows us to understand in one more way. There are many perushim, you know, we say in the Slichas davening, and probably many of us might have been bothered. You know, Yid, you know, is mizvadeh to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and of course he confesses, and he says, Vidoy, so shamnu, bagadnu, fine, we acknowledge, avadeh, we are sinners, we sin this way and that way, and the list goes on and on and on. And we understand that. But then there's a phrase which Bechlal is incomprehensible. The phrase that says, oshamnu mikalom, we are more guilty than all nations. Is that really true? Did any Yid ever cause that much riches, murder, ritzich, that Umas Oilam, that nations of the world not only are capable of, that have done? So how do we say, Oshamnu Mikalom, that we are more guilty than all the nations of the world? According to B'chai, maybe the meaning is, as bad and as terrible what other people do, but it doesn't reach Shemayim. The koich of the Yid is that every maisa, every dibra, every machshava causes devastation in all of the upper worlds. In that sense, in that capacity, it's a shamla makalon. Our devastation is greater. Our devastation is greater. And that's exactly what Reb Chaim is saying. That when a Yid, even a chet kal, he says, is harbi yoser, Mimashi Hichriv, as he said in Nebuchadnezzar, Vititus. Rak, now he points out further, which again is amazing insight. Rav Chaim goes on to explain, where do you think did Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, where did they acquire the power, the ability, in fact, to be able to destroy? First base of Middish, second base of Middish. Where do you think they grew that power? Where did they get it from? Says the Nefesh HaChaim. Says, Rak, I want you to know, the secret is, Rak Shebechatoenu. He said, it's because of our sins, due to our sins. And of course, the Gemara in various places goes on to try to explain what the specific sins were. But Rak Shebechatoenu Nismayit V'toshke B'yochel Koyach Gvura Shomalo. But as the B'chaim already pointed out, that it is through the actions of a Yid, in a certain sense, it causes, as it were, a weakness in Shemayim, as we pointed out already in last week. Es migdash Hashem timu kibiyochel, ha migdash u'elyon. In other words, we, through our sins, we also destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You know which Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash Shomala. We know that there are two Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash Shomato, the Beis HaMikdash that was built down here on this world, corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash Shomala. We know that there's Yerushalayim Shomato, there's Yerushalayim here, down here, and there's Yerushalayim Shomalo. Up to the point that the Gemara tells us, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now that we are in Golos, that we are exiled, and we don't really have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the control over Yerushalayim, as when Mashiach will come. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani, I will not, Ikones, I will not enter Yerushalayim Shomalo, until Yidden down here will be able to enter Yerushalayim Shomato. Yishlaim Shomalo, Yishlaim Shomato, Beis HaMikdash Shomato, Beis HaMikdash Shomalo. Says Reb Chaim, before Nebuchadnezzar, the Rishoyim were capable of destroying the Beis HaMikdash Shomato, we first destroyed the Beis HaMikdash Shomalo. And by destroying, the first step, by destroying the Beis HaMikdash Shomato, that now gave power and allowed and gave Nebuchadnezzar and Titus the ability to destroy Beis HaMikdash Shomato. In other words, had Beis HaMikdash Shomalo still been existing, they could not destroy the corresponding Beis HaMikdash with the Beis HaMikdash Shomato. So it started with us. Says Reb Chaim, take a look. So Reb Chaim, I want you to understand. Says Reb Chaim, as Mikdash Hashem Timu, to the Averis of the Yidden, they were metame, they defiled the Beis HaMikdash. They defiled the Beis HaMikdash. Ki biyochel HaMikdash u'elyon. So they defiled the Beis HaMikdash u'elyon. This is what happened. That is what gave Nebuchadnezzar and Titus the power to destroy the Beis HaMikdash here on earth. Because of our Averis that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash Ho'elyoin, the upper Beis HaMikdash, Ho'elohem Koyach Nebuchadnezzar and Titus. That is what gave the power to Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, Lahachriv HaMikdash Shomato, HaMechum, which is corresponding exactly one opposite the other. HaMechum Neged HaMikdash Shomalo, which is Mechum Keneged, the Beis HaMikdash Shomalo. This is, the far-reaching effect of devastation that a Yid causes through his actions in Shemaim, in the Olam Mishol Yoinim, to the point that Churim Beis HaMikdash, the ability that Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, it started with us. We destroyed first the Beis HaMikdash Shomala. As a matter of fact, when Rashi tells us, Aharon HaKohen was given the mitzvah to light the menorah, in Parshas Bahal Yisro, Saneiros, and then the Pasuk says, Vayaskein Aharon, right? Aharon HaKohen went and he complied and he fulfilled the mitzvah of lighting the menorah as he was commanded. And the famous Rashi says, Vayaskein Aharon, Lahagid, Shvochoi, Shel Aharon, Sheloi Shino. The Torah comes to tell us, oh, the praise of Aharon HaKohen. He did not change, he did not deviate from the mitzvah of Adlokas HaMenorah. And the Kasha that all the Mepharshim ask, is this really a Chiddush? This really something that Aharon should be lauded for and praised? I mean, what will be the Habimine? Why not? Says the right mitzvah was given to Aharon HaKohen to light the menorah. Why should he not light the menorah? Why not? And the Alshon HaKodesh says, Rabbi Isai, and this fits in very beautifully, again, with the theme that the Nefesh HaChaim is teaching us over here. And the Alshon HaKodesh says, being that we have the Beis HaMikdash Shomalo, and we have the Beis HaMikdash Shomato. Says the Alshon HaKodesh, do you know what the Avoid of Aharon HaKohen was? The Avoid of Aharon HaKodesh was that when he lights the menorah, he lights it with such kedusha that through his lighting down here, he lights up the menorah Shalmala. To take Rabbi Yisrael a little bit of fire and light the menorah, anybody can do that.
The koyach of Aharon's avoda was that he lights the menorah with such kedusha because there's a corresponding menorah. There's a corresponding menorah in Shemayim. And when Aharon HaKohen lights the menorah down here, he lights it with such kedusha that it has the effect of lighting the menorah Shalmala. To be able to do that, Aharon HaKohen himself first has to be in a very high madrega. The lashon of the posik says, Alchach Kodesh is, you notice, and Rashi also has the kasha. But the Alchach says, with Fid Devoreinu, we say like this. You notice, it doesn't say, Bahadlikoscha esaneiris, lighting. It says, Bahaloischa. Bahaloischa, Milo Milo, raise up your lighting. Bahaloischa esaneiris. You're doing the maisa, you're doing the act down here. But it's not limited to down here. What your tafkid is, with your mission, you're being given a tachlis, you're given an avodah to raise up. The avlokas ha-menorah should have effect in Shomayim, ba-loitzcha. Vayaske nahara in ahagish vork shloishino. He was capable of doing that. That is the type of task very few would be able to fulfill that kind of a task. That their avodah should have such tremendous kedusha in Shomayim. He's lighting the menorah down here, lights up the menorah in Shomayim. Akupon, this is what the Nefesh HaChaim is telling us, the far-reaching effect of a yid. And it was because of our avarice that we destroyed the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala. So in fact, it's ironic, but it turns out we, as it were, think about it in these terms, we, as it were, gave the torch to Nebuchadnezzar, go light the Beis Hamikdash. We gave him the fuel, we gave him the fire. Had we not destroyed to our chatoin the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala, they could not have destroyed the Beis Hamikdash Shalmata. We gave them the torch. Says Reb Chaim, brother. As a matter of fact, Chazal say in Echo Rabosi, Chazal say in Medrash Echo, Kimcha Techina Tchinas. The Gemara tells us, you can imagine, after the success, after this is finally conquering Jerusalem, conquering Yerushalayim, destroying the Beis HaMikdash, the arrogance that these Rishoyim were filled with, being successful in their mission. Kemabaskom and Hashemayim says, you really think you did something? Kimcha techina techinas. You know what it means is, you're merely ground up fine flour. You're trying to ground flour from wheat kernels, that's one thing. But if the flour has already been ground before, and you're just re-grinding it, you accomplished nothing. It has already been ground. The flour is... Kimcha techina techinas. You are grinding fine flour. You're destroying something that's as good as being destroyed already. You didn't destroy it. It has been destroyed already. You just destroyed the exterior, the shell. But that's not the Beis HaMikdash. The koyach and the ability that you were able to do it because it was already destroyed. Kimcha techina techinas. Interesting thing. This idea that, of course, that Reb Chaim is telling us that it was the chatoim, our chatoim, it was the behavior of Yidden at that time that brought about the devastation, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala. You know, there's a Rashi, let me just stop here for a moment, there's a Rashi in Parshas Re. The Torah talks about when Yidden come into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, Yeshua brings them in. No, ultimately, they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. They have a Mishkan in between. And the Torah talks about when you come into Eretz Yisrael, one of the mitzvahs were to get rid and destroy the Ibadatem, to get rid and destroy the Avodah Zarah, all the idols. So various idols, nations worshipped idols, so wherever you encounter any Avodah Zarah, destroy them. The Pasuk goes very quickly to say, Le'isasun kein Hashem Elokechem. But destroying idols, yes, but do not dare destroy any chalokim of the Beis HaMikdash. Don't, and Rashi says, for example, it comes to tell you, don't destroy like chipping away from the stones, right? Nesitzois Evan of the Mizbeah. Right? To chip off some of the rocks of some of the stones of the base of the Mizbeah. L'Sasim Kem. By the way, that's allowed, that's used for anything that has Kedusha. Shem Hashem. The Issa Mechikas Hashem. The Issa Derais is not allowed to erase Hashem's name. The seven names. Because where do you get it from? L'Sasim Kem Hashem Elokechem. You're not allowed to. It's allowed Derais. Not allowed to. The Mechik Hashem. So again, the Torah is telling us, on the one hand, I command you to destroy all the idol worship. But make sure, don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Mizbeach, Mishkan. So Rashi asks the Pasha the question, do I have to tell which Yid in his right mind, which in his right mind is going to go and start destroying, killing with the Beis HaMikdash? A Yid has to be told,
As they always say, one of the, I don't know if this works all the time, but this is the Maaseh Shoheh that it actually worked. It actually worked. There was a situation about parents who once came to a Rav complaining very, very bitterly about a daughter of theirs, or a son of theirs, marrying out of the faith. You can understand, these people were not observant people, and nevertheless, this is changing as time goes along. Intermarriage is something which is on the rise, unfortunately. But you can still remember, certainly years ago, and this was certain sensitivity, that you marry within the faith. You can't. There's a certain line that you just don't pass over. You want your children to be Jewish, your grandchildren to be. You just don't pass over that. You don't go over the line. However, the problem is, which many parents did not realize, that if you don't give your children a Jewish education, how and why should they identify as being Jewish? They don't understand it. And of course, and that's the reason, that's the problem, that you find the problem of intermarriage on the rise. As a matter of fact, it just goes the other way. Children who are not brought up understanding what it means to be Jewish, should they say, what are you, a bigot or something? I have to only marry within my own faith. You know, they have the other. So the opposite. They say the chesroiness of limiting, right, of limiting the pool, that you have to adapt to where you're better than anybody else. Oh, this whole idea. So, okay, but now that these parents were devastated, and he came to the Rav to find some idea, and to say, to find some sort of a way to say, now it's a very difficult situation, because once a person makes up his mind, he wants to do it. There's a lot of emotional involvement. When a person is ready to get married out of his faith, there's a lot of emotional, physical attachment, and logic doesn't always prevail. More or less, then. So what he did was as follows. Took him to the shul, probably a place that he didn't visit for a long time, this person. And he said to him, you know what this is? Yes, he said, it's a synagogue. I know, that much he knew. And he points to the Aron Kodesh, and he says, do you know what that is? So yeah, sure, that's the Ark. That much he knew. So I'd like you to open it. So he goes, and he opens up the Aron Kodesh. And he said, what do you see inside? He said, what do you mean? It's a Torah. It's a Torah. You know what a Torah is? Yes. It's the holiest thing that's cherished, he says, by anybody that's Jewish. We know what a Torah is. And the Rav says to him, I would like you to take out that Sefer Torah. And he goes up to the Aron Kodesh, takes out the Sefer Torah, and he comes down, and the Rav now looks at him with piercing eyes and says, what I want you to do is like this. Take that Sefer Torah, throw it to the ground, stamp on it, and spit on it. I step on a Sefer Torah, spit on a Sefer Torah. How can I do this, Jyoti? That's exactly what you're doing. You're marrying out of your faith. This is in fact what you're doing. You're stamping, because this is going to lead to the destruction. This is destroying. This is something which is antithetical to anything that the Torah stands for. It's one of the worst things they could ever do. And sure enough, it hit him in the right place. This dramatic scene and this type of a setup, if you really think about it, this could have a tremendous, tremendous effect. You're not talking about the logic. You're talking about the appeals to the emotion. Everybody knows what a Sefer Torah is. That's one thing that has not been lost. There's that feeling. We know that this is something that has to be cherished. That's something that has to be respected. And therefore, the question is, do we need a posik? L'sasen kein l'shem alakechem. Don't destroy the mizbeach. Ask someone. Go into a shul and tear down the precious. Destroy it. No Yid would do that. No Yid would do that. You have to be very, very far removed. Totally, 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 completely. So why does the Torah say, L'sasun kem l'shem l'kechem? You know how Rashi interprets that posuk? You're right. You do not need a posuk to tell you. L'sasun kem, don't go and destroy the Mizbeach. Don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You wouldn't do it. You can't do it. Says Rashi, the chisala al datcho, on Rabbi Shmuel. Do you think, does it even occur to you, that a Yid would do such a thing, that the Torah has to tell you not to do it? You're coming into Eretz Yisrael, where you have all the different nation idol worshippers. Don't behave like them, because in other words, if you don't behave properly, you are destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Cause and effect. L'istasim kem l'shem l'kechem is behave like a yid. Follow the derech ha-toyre. Because otherwise, you will be destroying your mizbeach. You'll be destroying your Beis HaMikdash. We're not talking about taking a hammer and a chisel and trying to chip away, dislodge some of the avonim. For that, you don't need a posik, says Rashi. Said Rashi, v'shtetzach, sashkofe. Sashkofe is l'istasim kem. Don't cause it to happen. This is the koich of our avonis. This is the koich of our meisim. This is what the Chaim is telling us over here. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus had the koyach because it was through our avoinas that we destroy the Beis Hamikdash Shel Malo. Haray, so what do we see from here? Haray, we see from here, Kavoinoseinu. It is our avoinas, Hichrivu Nove Malo. It is our avoinas that in fact that destroyed the dwelling of above. Oilamis Wal Yoinim Akdoshim. It destroyed all of the holy oilamis in Shemayim. That was the koyach. You and Nebuchadnezzar, it was a hollow achievement. You thought to achieve something. Kimche, as he says, tchina tchinas. You already ground fine flour. It's a hollow achievement. You would think that you did something. It was done for you. And he says, Vehemu echribu, what they destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, all that destroyed, as you see, was merely, he says, was novemato. Was a dwelling down here. It's that what they destroyed. To destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Shalmato. Vezeu shispaldo v'da melech olav ha-sholem et tehillim. Chaim suggests that this is also a new meaning. When we find the tefillah that Dovda Melech says in Tehillim, Kapitel Ayin Dalet, Dovda Melech says, Yivoda, says the posik, Yivoda kemevi lemalo, b'svach eitz kardumois. Let me tell you first the posh of the pshat, so you'll appreciate what Rav Chaim is saying, what the pshat is. Dovda Melech is telling us, it has been regarded, understand Rabbi Isai, when the time came and permission was given to build a Beis HaMikdash. So now you needed to chop down some trees for wood, as you do in any type of building. You have to chop down trees for wood. The simcha and the joy that the Yidna had to be able to take the axe, to chop down the thicket forest, they took it as a gift from Hashemayim, giving them the opportunity to have a chelik in building the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Pasuk is saying. Look at the Pasuk again. Yivoda kimevi lemalo. It was taken for granted. It was regarded as bringing a matone. Kimevi lemalo. It was regarded as giving a gift to Shemayim. Bisvach eitz kardumois. The axes in the thicket of trees. The axes that chopped into the thicket of trees was viewed as we have the opportunity to give a great gift to Shemayim. It was a tremendous joy in the simcha to be able to be involved even in the hachonah of building the Beis HaMikdash. That's a simple interpretation. Says Reb Chaim, another pshat. So the Melech was actually not making statement. He was asking, he was requesting. He was saying that Yivoda kemevi lemalo. Yivoda kemevi lemalo means bikei shechoshev loy. The Ramelech wanted these Rishoyim to be punished as if they destroyed also the Beis HaMikdash Shomala. Bikeshe Yechoshev loy ki ilu lemalo bishmei meroyimim horas. Ava be'emes, but the truth is, loy nogusha maisov klal kenal. The truth is, the actions of Nebuchadnezzar could not touch the above. However, the Ramelech prayed that the enemy would be charged as if he had caused the damage above. Although in reality, he does not have the courage to do that. And by the way, the reason for that is, why should he be charged for something that actually didn't do? I just want to tell you, because there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that Tzadik Dalet says, that in fact, that Bikesh, that Nebuchadnezzar, as a matter of fact, said, Oysarosha, he said, Bitchilo achrev dira shel mato, v'achekach achrev dira shel malo. The mission that Nebuchadnezzar set forth, he anticipated, and he hoped he will be able to destroy all of it. He didn't realize his power was limited. But he thought his power is to destroy the bottom Beis HaMikdash. He didn't understand that even that he could not do, only because the work was cut out for him. But he had, in his mind, thought he had the ability and wanted to do everything. So David HaMelech was mispalel Yivoda, that it should be taken, that the enemy should be charged, as if they also destroyed the Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo, because in fact that's what they proposed to do, that's what they meant to do, that's what they tried to do, had they just been given the opportunity, had they been given the koyach to do it. So Kaponim, so this is what Reb Chaim goes on to tell us. So let's see further, Rabbi Yisrael. Continues now Rabbi Chaim on further, here in Perek Dalet. And Rabbi Chaim says, Gamal Zois, he says, there's one more thing he says. Gamalzoi, there's something else, he says, that should cause a person to tremble. He says, Gamalzoi, Yechrad, Leiv Ha'odom, Ma'am HaKodesh. He says, people who are from the holy nation, means Jewish people. You have to understand, now look what he says here. You have to understand even more what man is when we say B'Tselem Elokim. When we say that man is B'Tselem Elokim, you have to realize, Shuhu Koilu B'Tav Nisoi, you have to realize that man, and let me just say it very bekitzer. You know, many times you take a look, you see a map, and right away it's written underneath, it says the map is not exactly to scale. You have a small map, but that map is a small map, which is about 5 inches wide, and that's supposed to represent an entire country, obviously. So you say, you know what? Every quarter inch of this map represents 1,000 miles, or whatever the scale is. Reb Chaim says, man is the counterpart, is the small scale counterpart of all the worlds in existence. In other words, we are the blueprint. Is it amazing? All the Olamos, all the upper worlds, all of the forces, man in his small capacity, as you see, the limited human being, is a small scale counterpart, which within him, all of the upper worlds and all of the forces are all represented in man. Just an amazing thing, what man is all about. Says Reb Chaim further. Shukoyle b'tav nisoy. Listen to what he says. Shukoyle b'tav nisoy. A man in his frame, he says, is koyle. He includes, he encompasses. Kol ha-koyches v'ho'oylomois kulom. He says, all of the forces in the world in existence. And by the way, where are they concentrated? Where are all the worlds concentrated? Shehein heimo ha-koydish v'ha-migdash o'elyon. They are all concentrated in the heavenly base Hamigdosh. Now, if we say that all of the upper worlds are really, their forces are concentrated in the upper base Hamigdosh, because that's where the source of their power comes from, let's see man's role. Let's now interpret. What is man's role in relation to the base Hamigdosh, to the upper base Hamigdosh? Look what Reb Chaim goes on to say. And he's making a blueprint. And he's telling you the following. V'halev shel Adam. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu plant the heart of a person? The heart of a person is about mid-body. The lev of a person. The head is on top, but the lev is sort of like in center. V'halev shel Adam emtze'isa degufa. The heart of a person is the center of the body. So explains, he kololiyas hakol. It's the heart, of course, which contains all of the life force of the human body. And that corresponds, the heart of a person corresponds, neged habeis kotche kadoshim, emtza hayishuv even shesio. That corresponds to the heavenly kodesh kadoshim, the seat of the even shesio, which is the shesio stone. Let's explain what Rabbi Yisai. Reb Chaim says that man not only corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash, but to the holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash. The chelik of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the most kodesh. And that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And by the way, Rabbi Yisai, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, which spot is the most outstanding spot in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That's the Evin Shesio. The Evin Shesio is known to be the foundation stone. And the history of that stone, by the way, as we know from Chazal, the Evin Shesio, it was on that stone that, first of all, the Orin HaKodesh, the Luchos, right, the tablets with the Orin, rested on the Evin Shesio on the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Orin rested. The Gemara says, Masechtas Yuma Daf Hei. It is also the stone on which Yaakov Avinu slept, where he had the dream of the ladder reaching Shemayim. Peroisha Megiya Shemayim. All took place on that stone. And Chazal said that that's the cornerstone of the earth. It is from there that the rest of the world was created from. From that point on. This was the focal point. That's the Evin Shesio. So the Evin Shesio is the most important place, the holiest place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Evin Shesio, as it were, is centralized. That's the center. The Lev Odom, the heart of a person, represents the Evin Shesio of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Koilel, which encompasses Kol Shiroshim Mekor HaKadushas Kamayu. It's an unbelievable statement. It's the source of all Kedusha. In the same way that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the source of all Kedusha. Specifically, the Evin Shesio, the lave of man corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash Shalmalo. The Beis HaMikdash Shalmalo also has the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Beis HaMikdash Shalmalo also has the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it has a spiritual Evin Shesio. The lave Adam corresponds to that Mokim. This is the source of all Kedushim. And he says, from Zuzal, and Chazal have told us this Beremizin. Chazal, in fact, have alluded to this. They have alluded to this by saying the following. We know the halacha, the Gemara says in the Mishnah Perek Tilas HaShachar, it says, Yechaven es liboy keneged beis kotcha kedoshim. When a man stands Shemayin Esrei, the halacha is that he's supposed to be facing Yerushalayim. So you stand Shemayin Esrei, he's supposed to be facing Yerushalayim. What is the halacha if you're not able to face Yerushalayim? If you're not able to physically face Yerushalayim, so the halacha is, Yechaven es liboy should concentrate his thoughts, Mechaven es liboy keneged the kodesh kedoshim, the Holy of Holies. Yechaven es liboy. What have I got to do with the Holy of Holies? Rav Chaim says this is not just Tam. But Chazal are trying to tell us because your heart, your lev, corresponds, in fact, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore, Yechaven es liboy, it is your heart which is the center of the goof. Your heart, the center of the goof, is really Koilu. It's the life force, not only the physical life force, but the source of all Kedusha, corresponding to the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Shammai. And he points out, he says, the Bezoyer Shalach. And therefore, we'll go quickly, he says, the Zoyer says in Pasha Shalach, it says as follows. The Zoyer says in Pasha Shalach, it says, Tochazi, come and see Kadbora Kuchabrichu Barnash Bialma, when Kadbora created a man in this world, Askinle, he created him, Kigavne Eloi Yekire. He created him in a form, to have an appearance of the above. He created him to have the appearance of above, which is the most becovedic, the most honorable type of a form. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him power. The Yovle Chele V'tukfe, and he gave the man's power, which is in the middle of his body, which is his heart. That's where his main life force is. The Yovle Chele V'tukfe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man. He gave him all of these koiches, gave him all of these powers. As he points out, Chele V'tukfe, he says, he gave him. Bemtzis the goof in the middle of his goof, the tam and shari liboy. With that is the resting place of the heart. Kegavne do in the same way, askin kuchabrichi alma. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the whole world is one long mass. Vovele chad gufe, velibe shari bemtzuse. The heart, on the other hand, that represents the source on which the entire, everything in creation is dependent on the heart of man. Where your heart is, if your heart is in the right place, you're building the world. If your heart is in the wrong place, so to speak, you're destroying the world. Everything is told in that. The who took for the koilu, because that is the toikiv, that is the power of everything. The kula beitalyim, everything is told where your heart is at. Vahahechol, lebeis kocha kedoshim, he says, everything is included in that. He says, everything included, the heart parallels, he says, the sanctuary, he says, the hechol, he says, where you have the shchina, the tam and shchina, the kapayris, where you have the cover of the orin, ukruvim, the oroin, the hoche hu liba the chol ara the alma, he says, this is the heart of the universe, and it's from here, he says, mahoche itzanu, and from here everything is nurtured. That is what it is. So now, Rabbi Isai, here comes the clincher. So if now you have this picture, you think of yourself, Rabbi Isai, a yid thinks of himself, he's a walking Beis Hamikdash. An amazing thing. You're a walking Beis Hamikdash. A yid that walks, he's a walking Beis Hamikdash. You're walking Beis Hamikdash, which you contain all parts of the Beis Hamikdash, and the lev, the heart, represents the Kiddush of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not merely the Kodesh HaKadoshim or the Beis Hamikdash Shel Mato, more than that. The Beis Hamikdash Shel Malo, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Beis Hamikdash Shel Malo, it's all totally in the heart of a person. Says Rabbi Chaim now, Rabbi said, this is a very frightening, I have to tell you. Look what he says now, this next few lines. It's a tremendous indictment, and it's a tremendous nesoyer. Im kein, now that I told you that, the ace, he says, asher yosur hodem lachshu b'lvavoy. When a man allows, and I want to say this, Rav Chaim is talking about a man who allows, I'm using the word allows, because loshen yosur, allows, he says, indecent thoughts of promiscuity to enter his mind. I'm saying allows. These things can happen b'yoynis also. It's not indicted to b'yoynis. The idea is, if it happens, so of course, a person is a human being, is a boss of a dom. So you have the avoid. The avoid of a person is to do whatever is possible to try to banish those thoughts. But there are people, of course, and this is the way that they even encourage these thoughts. Asher yosur hodom. Yosur means loisosuru. The opposite of loisosuru. In fact, he does encourage you. Look what's happening at that time. Be'ez, he says, asher yosur hodom lachshubu vavoy. When a person brings indecent thoughts, he says, machshov asher loito hoiru b'niyufrau. When he allows his mind to be occupied with these type of machshavas, Rachman al Islam, Harehu Machnis Zoino Semel Vikinam Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. The worst Balavera, the worst Balavera, Ayid, would never take a Zoyna in the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. He wouldn't even go into a shul and do a Maishas Nus. He wouldn't go into the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, wouldn't step into the base HaMikdosh. Rabbi Chaim says, when a Yid brings in, he says, these type of machshavas in your mind, you know what the human mind is? The mind of a Yid. The mind of a Yid, you are representing the Beis HaMikdosh. You have within yourself the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You are bringing a Zoyna, he says, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Certainly that's something you never wanted to do. You never realized that's what's happening. Rabbi Chaim says, the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim or Elyon. Not the Kodesh HaKadoshim down here, in the uppermost high Kodesh HaKadoshim, he says. You're bringing it into the Holy of Holies of the celestial world. Noira, bo'oilomois v'olyoinim ha'kedoshim chas v'sholem. In the most high upper worlds of Kedusha. U'magbi rachmonu l'tzlon, koiches ha'tumma v'sitra achra v'beis Kodesh HaKadoshim v'olyoin. You are releasing forces of impurity and contamination, the spiritual world. Harbe Yoiser ve Yoiser Mimash Nigram his Gabris Koyatuma de Titus. Much worse than what Titus did. We learn Kamsa by Kamsa and we're disgusted by the Maisa what Titus Rosh did. Schadal Zay, that he took his Zoyna into the Beis HaMikdosh and he committed his Aveira right there. He says, Reb Chaim, the Sokosov, he's a Goy. When he eats, even through his Machshove, when he allows it, brings in these kind of machshavas in his mind, he says, you are defiling, again, the far-reaching action. You are defiling the Beis HaMikdosh or Elyon, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore you are causing much more destruction in terms of Koyches HaTuma than Titus was ever able to dream of doing. Titus is involved with Beis HaMikdosh Shomato. You are destroying the Beis HaMikdosh Shomalo. The chain called hate but over in us call issue so machness, believe it was machness. Sometimes you're annoying us. Can't always be charged for that. The question is, what are you gonna do about it? So when a yid is machness, believe boy, Eish Zoro, he's bringing alien fire. The cast, that's either through anger, or Shar Taivis Royas Rahman Aslam, or other types, he says, of desires which don't belong by a yid. Halayhu Mamish Biinyan Akosif. This is exactly doing like Kinyan, like the Potik says in Yeshayah. Beis Kodshenu v'sifarteinu, Beis HaMikdosh were destroyed. The Beis HaMikdosh means our holiness and splendor. Hoilas Reifas Eish, it became a fiery, he says, situation, consumed by fire. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, the truth is, we are doing the same thing. He said, because we are consuming, we are creating this Eish Zora, this alien fire. He says, our ability that we are identified a Yid, Kodesh HaKadoshim. A Yid is Beis HaMikdosh. What he does within himself is not only with himself. He's actually, as we say, affecting the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdosh and lighting it a fire. Horachmon Yisborach Shema Yatzileinu. Look what he says at Tfilah. Rabbi Nishlodim, he says, should give us the ability, the Koyach, to be Matzilas. That's why Kodesh Baruch in fact says to Yecheskel again, to show the relationship between a Yid and Beis HaMikdosh. You have a direct connection with the Beis HaMikdosh. As Mekoyim kisses to my throne, after Eshkan Shom, Petoch B'nei Yisrael. You know, the Pesuk doesn't say, I'm resting in the Beis HaMikdosh. I'm resting among the Yidden. Le'oilom. Le'itamoid Beis Yisrael Shem Kochi. And they should no longer defile my holy name. B'zenoison. He says, by doing the abominations that they commit. Ato, for now, hopefully, Yirchaku Ezenoison. Hopefully they'll distance themselves from their promiscuity. So then, v'shochamti b'soichem li'oilom. So here we have the Beis HaMikdosh, and where did the Shekhinah rest? The emphasis is not on Beis HaMikdosh, Rabbi Yisai. The emphasis is in the heart of every Yid. And maybe Rabbi Yisai, time is almost up, but let me just mention this. If you have it over here in Reb Chaim, Chaim has here quite a number, in the middle here, we have the Hagoyas. And again, so I just want to mention to you, we don't do them all, but let's do this shtickle here, if you can find, in the Hagoy with the asterisk. And this is Lazois. If you don't find it, anyway, I'll speak it out. Lazois Hare, Kivadai, Iker Inyan HaKodesh VaHamikdosh. Again, you know what the main base of Mikdosh is? It's not the Eitz and Mabonim. It's not the rocks, the stones, and the wood. That's not the main base of Mikdash. Ikra HaKodesh v'Mikdash. And where is the main place of Ashrayas HaShchina? Not that place. Ushriya HaShchinos Yisborach. Who hold up? It's man. Shem Yiskadish Atzmoy Kero. If man sanctifies himself appropriately, became HaMitzvahs Kulam. Shem Kluyim Gam Kein B'Shoy Shinoel. And all the mitzvahs are rooted all above. B'Pirkei Eivorei HaShir Koyim K'B'Yochel Shoklal Koloyim Es Kulam. And it's all connected with all of the upper worlds. As he points out, skip the brackets, Ozu Atzmoy HaMikdash Mamish. Look at that lotion. He says that man is Mikdash Mamish. U'besoichoy Hashem Yizborach Shemoy. Heichel Hashem, Hashem Heimo. Yemayinovi says, they are the Heichel. The real Heichel are the Bnei Yisrael. They are the true sanctuary. Comes Reb Chaim and says a beautiful pshat. Skip the next few lines. V'yesh Loimar. Go to the V'yesh Loimar. We conclude with this. I believe one of the Chumashurim I may have said it. This is where it's from. This is the Nefesh HaChaim. And he says a very beautiful pshat. Let's remember the Pasuk Rabbi Yisai. In Parshas Truma. V'yosu li-migdosh v'shachanti b'soichom. How should the Migdash look like? Let's remember again. K'choyel the Pasuk says, Ashani maru oischa b'hor. Because Baruch Hu says, I showed you the picture on Har Sinai, how the base of Migdash should look like. And with, so again, v'yosu li-migdosh, the commandment to make a base of Migdash, in the way that I have shown you, and then it says again, v'chein tasu, and so shall you do. What are these extra words, v'chein tasu? It says v'osuli. It says already, make a mikdash for me. What the v'chein tasu? And Rashi said l'doiris, for future generations. You know what Reb Chaim interprets that to mean? Reb Chaim says like this, I want you to look at the base of mikdash, and I want you to observe the function of all of the kelim. When you have studied, you have absorbed what the base of mikdash is all about, what the avoida of each and every kli, every vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, what it is for. The chein tasu, you yourself become that Beis HaMikdash. You emulate that. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you Remach Evorim, 248 Evorim. You have to represent that Beis HaMikdash. And I've given you a picture. By you looking at the Beis HaMikdash, look at its components, look at its parts, look at the function of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, your mission is the chein tasu. You become a replica of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the chein tasu. The chein tasu. But also the Mikdash. Make the Mikdash. The chein tasu. And so make yourselves. Make yourselves the same way. Let's look at Reb Chaim. Says Reb Chaim, V'shlem al derzeh ha-kosuf. V'yosu le-mikdash k'chol ha-shirimar o'ischo v'chein tasu v'razal dorshu. And the Gemara dashin v'chein tasu le-doiris. The same thing in future generations. What does it mean? Darkeinu yeshloimer. According to what we are saying, Gamkein, Shiroi Tzoloimer, the intent is, Al Tachshivu. Don't think for a moment, I need a physical building. Because Baruch Hu does not need a physical building. Do not think, Al Tachshivu, Shetachlis Kavanosi, who has seen us, Hamikdash Hakitzoini. I don't need a shell. I don't need a shell, I don't need a frame. So why did they tell you to build a base of Mikdash? Because that should be a blueprint for yourselves. Turn yourself into a base of Mikdash. Elateidu, Shekola Tachlis Ritzoini, Betavnis, Hamishkim Chol Kelov. You know what my Tachlis is? This should be a remiss to you. This should elude you, awaken you. Shememenu tiru. You look and observe. The chentasu atem es atzmechem. That you become the Mishkan. You become the Kalim. Shetiyu atem b'masechem aritzuyim ketavnis ha-mishkan v'kelov. Kulim kedoshim re'uyim u'mechonim. As he points out, to be mashra tishkine. Rabbi, I just have to tell you, I conclude you, it was years ago. They say it was Hakim, in fact, it was in Volozhin, and there was Simchas Torah. And they were dancing, of course, with Mole Simcha, Kenoyik, as you didn't do on Simchas Torah. And it is said that Reb Chaim Volozhin, in the middle of the dancing, holding the Sefer Torah, he slips. And he slips, he falls down together with the Sefer Torah. And we know what happens when a Sefer Torah falls, there's aloha that the Kehillah has to fast. So, of course, right away, everybody instinctively, they see a Sefer Torah falling to the ground, so he rushed to pick up the Sefer Torah. And Reb Bitzel is there and he cries out, wait a minute, he says. First you pick up Reb Chaim. He's the real Sefer Torah, the living Sefer Torah. Then you pick up the other Sefer Torah. Man is the real Mikdash. Man is the Etzem of Ashrayas HaShchina. Mikdash is just a dugme, it's just a blueprint. But the Avoid is the Chein Tasu, that we are capable and have Atzlocha to become the base of Mikdash.